For the rest of us, let's open our Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Maybe this happens to you sometimes, but as I was listening to that song this morning, the thought occurred to me, why love is eternal? In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul tells us that there's faith and hope and charity or love. And basically, he explains that one day there's going to come a time when faith will become obsolete because our faith will be replaced with sight when we see the Lord, and hope is going to be fulfilled. And so hope's going to pass away, but charity's or love is going to last forever. And I knew that to be true in Scripture, but as Elizabeth was singing this morning, I thought, there it is. God is love, okay? And therefore, love is eternal. And so for as long as God is, love will be. And that's something to sing about. But we're in 1 John chapter 4. As we continue our study through this book this morning, our text will be verses 14 through 16. So let's begin by reading those verses together. 1 John chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege to be with your people today. Thank you for giving us a beautiful Lord's Day on which to worship you. We thank you for just filling our hearts with blessing and encouragement, Lord, as we fellowship with your people, as we sing your praises and just are nourished and cleansed and helped spiritually through the ministry of your truth and the ministry of your Spirit through the music and now in the study of your word. We ask for your blessing on the deaf ministry that is continuing to go on this morning, as well as for the children's church. We pray that you'd help those young ladies as they teach the children, that you would just reach their hearts, Lord, and do a good work there. We ask that you'd bless our time in your word. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to receive your word with readiness of mind, to receive everything that you would have for us in this morning message. We ask for the help and guidance of your Spirit. We pray that you would be honored through it all, Lord. Please speak to our hearts. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John, in this chapter of Scripture, has brought out a very amazing truth. He told us that God is love. He said that in verse number 8. He repeats it in verse 16. So John has told us that God is love. He's taught us that God lives within each one of his children, thereby giving us the ability, the supernatural ability, to love as God loves. The only way we can fulfill God's command to love others as ourselves, the only way we can truly fulfill that is for God to love through us. Well, as we think about that amazing truth that God himself is love, that he lives within each one of us, it can be an overwhelming and somewhat difficult truth for us to grasp. I mean, think about how great God's love is. We heard God's love described in song in many ways this morning, as we just heard in the special a moment ago, some of the words that Frederick Lehman said in that song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. He said, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. God's love is so great, it's so vast, it's even like an ocean, that it's perhaps hard for us to comprehend how that love could come to live within each one of us. I mean, how can you take an ocean and put it into our hearts and lives? Well, this morning for our message, we're going to focus our attention on one primary and I trust a simple thought that I believe is found in our text of Scripture. We're going to consider this subject this morning, how God's love reaches me. How God's love reaches me. We're going to learn very practically, step by step, how God and His wondrous love come all the way from heaven to live within our very hearts. And what we learn here this morning is going to, first of all, help us to better understand or at least be reminded of the foundation for God's love for us, where it all began. But then to get beyond that to living in the full confidence and experience of God's love, where God's love is not just written above and it's something out there, but it's something in here that we know and experience personally, where that vast ocean comes to live within us and springs up within us. How does that happen? How can God's love that reaches from the highest heaven to the lowest hell, how can that love reach me? So we're going to note from our text three ideas that I think can help us understand how that should be taking place in each and every one of our lives this morning. So let's note three thoughts from our text. We'll note, first of all, the testifying to the Father. Secondly, the confessing of the Son. And then thirdly, the knowing by the Spirit. So verse 14. John says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." If you go back to verse 12, John had explained that no mortal man has seen God fully revealed at any time. No man has seen God. But in contrast to that, in verse 14, John describes how he and the other apostles had for at least 3 years seen the Son of God, and they therefore could give testimony of how the Father had sent the Son, how He had sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And it's in that that we see the first step in God's love reaching us. The first step in God's love reaching us was the Father's so loving the world that He sent His Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. John 3:16, we most could quote it, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That was the first step in God's love reaching us. When the Father in heaven said, "Son, I'm sending you to be the Savior of the world. This is my expression of love to mankind." And that was the first step in God's love moving toward us and reaching us. John chapter 4 contains a beautiful story of how Jesus took His disciples on the detour, the different route of what the Jews would commonly travel. They traveled through Samaria, and there the woman at the well comes to faith in Jesus. She goes back to her village, reports what happens. They come out, and John 4:42, they say to this woman, "Now we believe, not for your saying only, not just because you told us, for we have heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." That expression is unique to John. Those Samaritans who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ showed that though they were not Jews, yet they knew that God loved them, that He had sent Jesus into the world to be their Savior. He sent Him to be the Savior of the world, yes, even for us as Samaritans. And the fact is, no one in the world should question whether God loves them, because God sent His Son into this world to be the Savior of the world. And that was the first step in God's love reaching us. He sent His Son for us. Luke 2 verses 10 through 12. We'll probably hear these sometime during the Christmas holidays. The angel said to those shepherds, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." How does God's love reach me? Well, the first step was the Father loving the world and sending His Son into the world to be my Savior. That's the first step. The second step is seen in verse 15, and that is the confessing of the Son. John said, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. The Father's sending the Son to be the Savior of the world, as John and the other apostles testified, was an expression of God's love for all people. But that love does not reach us. It doesn't touch us personally. It doesn't really get to us until we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the second step in God's love reaching us is our confessing the Son of God. It's one thing for God to love the world and send Jesus into the world to be our Savior. It's another thing for us to personally receive Him as our Lord and Savior and for Him to come and live within us. This is when God's love moves from heaven to our lives personally. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and God dwells in no other. God does not dwell in the man who has never confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, what does it mean to confess Jesus is the Son of God? It is not merely saying words. In fact, there are people who will use those words as a matter of profanity, cursing. What does it mean? Well, this confessing of Jesus as the Son of God is our agreeing in our heart with the Holy Spirit's conviction and then confessing with our mouth Jesus as Lord. It is not merely words, but it is a true confession from our hearts that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that we love Him, and we will serve Him. That's the kind of confession that brings God's love into your life. 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Again, it's not just mouthing words, but it is our believing in our heart and confessing Christ. Romans 10, verses 6 through 9 says this, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Do I have to go to heaven? Do I have to reach up there to get God's love and a relationship with Him? Oh no. Or who shall descend into the deep? Shall I descend into hell to reach out to God's love and have a relationship with Him to bring Christ up again? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, but if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To receive God's love, for him to live within us, to make that love personal, we don't have to ascend up into heaven. We do not have to descend into the depths of the earth. Instead, the door stands right in front of each and every person. And God has placed within every person's hand the key of faith. He's given to every man the measure of faith. He's placed within every person's heart the key to open the door to God's love for him to enter their lives. In fact, that key is not merely in our hands, it's in our very mouths. And John explains that if we will confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, He and all the love of God will come to live within us and we in Him. God loved us. He sent His Son into the world because He loved us. And when we confess Him, God dwells within us and we in God. Just as a side note, Christian, from verse 15, we can make this application that confessing Jesus Christ as Lord should not be something that we only do once in our lifetime. Okay, we do that when we receive Christ at the moment of conversion, the time of conversion, but we ought to be confessing Christ before others. Listen, if Jesus is in your heart, He ought to be on your lips. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, He that confesseth me before men, I'll confess before my Father which is in heaven, but he that denies me before men, I'll deny also before my Father and for his holy angels. We ought to be in the habit of telling others that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the only way of salvation. If we're not doing that, we're not living in obedience as a Christian. So we see the work of the Father in bringing God's love to us. We see the work of the Son bringing God's love to us, extending that love to us. And finally, this morning, there is this thought in verse 16, that is the knowing by the Spirit. John says, and we, now he's talking, we believe, not just about himself and the apostles, but he and his audience, and we, if we've believed and confessed Jesus Christ, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. A final step, the third step in God's love reaching me, and God's love reaching us personally, involves our knowing it through personal experience by the work of the Holy Spirit. The word know in verse 16 is used elsewhere in Scripture. The Greek translation of the Old Testament uses this very word to describe the physical intimate relationship between a husband and wife. Okay, I don't need to give examples of that, but this word know speaks of an intimate knowledge. It's not merely a head knowledge, but it is a personal experiential knowledge which reaches to the very depths of our soul, to the very depths of our being. John says, we have known. He's not saying we read about it somewhere. He's talking about this is what we've personally experienced. We have known and experienced God's love within us. Because he could say that, he says, we've known and we believe. Because we know by experience, we have confidence. We have assurance. We have personal experience and assurance that God loves us. We could say it this way, I know that Jesus loves me. This knowledge leads to confidence. As it relates to God's love, it is by the indwelling Holy Spirit that we receive a spiritual awareness, an intimate knowledge, a confidence, a personal assurance that God loves us as one, as an individual. This is when the love of God not only comes down from heaven to earth, and from earth into our body, but the love of God moves from our head to our heart. This is when the love of God reaches us. It's when we've received Christ and when the Holy Spirit speaks the love of God to our hearts. At that time, at that moment, the love of God is no longer a theory to us, but it's something that we know by faith and experience, and we have a personal confidence in it. We have a personal assurance where we can say, I know that Jesus loves me. This thing is personal. It's real. It's not just out there. And it's not just this historical fact that God loved the world and sent Jesus to earth to die for my sins, but He loves me. He lives within me. John R.W. Stott said this, the love that is eternally in God and was historically manifested in Christ is come to fruition. It's become real to me. Now, how does this happen? Again, if we could step back just a minute. When we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, He, as God, who is love, comes to live within us by the person of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, He is none of his. Every child of God has the Spirit of God. There is no such thing as a genuine Christian who does not have the Holy Spirit. We do not receive him at some other point. It is at the moment of regeneration when the Holy Spirit lives within us. Ephesians 2:22, Paul says, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So the Spirit is God. God is the Spirit. And God, comes, who is love, comes to live within us by the person of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay? That happens the moment we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, as God, who is love, the Holy Spirit, then causes the love of God to be poured forth like a river into our souls. In John 7, Jesus said, "He that believes on me, out of him shall flow rivers of living water." John explains, "But this spake he of the Holy Spirit, which they which should believe on him would afterward receive." So that river comes to live within us. And that river, what is it pouring forth in our hearts? The love of God. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad. It is poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So that's very practically, that's very clearly how God's love reaches us. Now we can be encouraged here to understand and know this, that once we've been joined together with God by His Spirit, we can never be put asunder, we can never be separated from God or His love. There is nothing we can do to make God stop loving us. There is no power in earth, heaven, or hell which can separate us from God's love. And there can never be a time, place, or circumstance where we can be cut off from God's love. That's what Paul taught us in Romans 8:35 through 39. He asked that very question. Who shall separate us from the love of God? No one, nothing, no time, no how. God's love comes to live within us. And again, if you want to understand the specifics, the details of that, here it is. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. God, who is love, lives within you by His Spirit, and He's not going anywhere until the day of redemption, when this redemption is made complete and we receive a new glorified body at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means God wants you to experience His love right now and forever. And you can never be separated from that. Stephen Vicky Cook wrote these words in a beautiful song. "O wondrous love that's come to dwell in me. Lord, who am I that I should come to know your tender voice assuring me this wondrous love will never let me go." O love of God that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. And then finally, there's this thought, as we understand very specifically that it's by the ministry of the Holy Spirit that the love of God is communicated to our spirit, where we have this spiritual awareness that God loves us personally, that we're not just one in, 8 billion or whatever in the world, but that God loves us. That's all by the spiritual communication and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We understand then that our ability to know by experience and have confidence in God's love for us is directly related to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It means we need to live our lives every moment filled with, controlled by, yielded to the Holy Spirit. And when we don't do that, we're not living in the experience of God's love. And though God loves us and He's right there and He wants to pour out His love upon us and He wants that close relationship, He can't do it when the Spirit of God's grieved or quenched in our lives. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Maybe you're here this morning, you said, yes, I understand God loved me. He sent His Son to die for me. I've confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord. The Holy Spirit lives within me, but God's love is just not reaching me this morning. The problem is not that God does not want to pour out His love. It could be that you have bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart. You say, I'm going to withhold my love from that person. And in the process, you are cutting yourself off from the very love of God. Jesus said, if you'll not from your heart forgive others, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. Say, oh, I want to be close to God. I want to know. If we could even say it in an independent Baptist church, I want to feel God's love for me. But it'll never happen with the Holy Spirit quenched, because God's love doesn't reach you personally any other way than by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You may differ with me on this, but I believe that in that context of verses, the primary command, the central focus is this. Don't quench the Spirit. And I believe that everything around it focuses in on that, because that is the most important, because God is the Spirit. In a complaining, unthankful spirit, a light esteem for the proclaimed Word of God, and little compromises with questionable things quench the river, the fire even, of the Spirit of God within us, and it causes our experience of God's love to grow cold. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What a tragedy. We ought not to be in that group. Sin chokes the channel of God's love flowing within and through us. May I ask you this morning, is God's love reaching you? Not just worldwide, not just historical, but can you say as John did, we have known it. We've had personal experience with this thing. It's not just theory, and it's not just head knowledge, but we know we've experienced it, and we have confidence, we have assurance that God loves us. As God has extended His love toward us in His Son and by His Spirit, let's not allow anything to keep us from knowing His love intimately by experience and being able to confidently believe that God loves us. Lord, thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we do know that You love the entire world. Lord, we believe that there's not a soul that was ever born that Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to shed His blood for. But we recognize that that will not be received. It is of no avail to the individual until they personally believe and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We thank You that's available to all, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray that every person might have that assurance, Lord, that they might know Your love in that way. But then for us as Christians, God, we thank You for the indwelling, abiding of the Holy Spirit who communicates Your love to us, who communicates with our spirit, bearing witness that we are the children of God, that we dwell in God who is love, and that God who is love dwells within us personally. And I pray that we would not live below our privileges. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask You this question? First of all, have you believed in your heart, not just with your head historically, but have you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He rose from the dead? And have you with your mouth confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord? Has God's love in Christ become personal to you? Is there anyone here today that would say, preacher, I've never done that, but today God has spoken to my heart and I realize that is what I need. I need Jesus Christ. And right here, right now, as best as I know how, I'm saying, God, come in. I want Jesus Christ to become my Lord and my Savior. I'm inviting you into my heart and into my life, Lord Jesus. If that's your decision this morning, would you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, yes, today, preacher, I want to make that decision today. Is there anyone at all? You'd just raise your hand and say, yes, I want to receive Christ today. Anyone? Christian? Are you confessing Jesus to others? Again, if he's within your heart, he ought to be on your lips. But it ought to be more than just preaching God's message. We ought to have God's heart. And that can only happen as we're living in an intimate relationship with God, experiencing His love. Are you living in an intimate, loving, personal relationship with your God? Does the Holy Spirit have full control of your life? Is He pouring out God's love in your heart? I mean, are you swimming in that ocean? Are you resting in that haven of God's love? Is there any sin which you need to confess and forsake so that you can experience God's love for you, so that God's love can reach you? Thankfully, John already told us in this book how we can do that. God wants to give us His love, and so He's made provision for how that loving relationship can be restored. He said, if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful, and He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter where you are in your relationship with God, I'm telling you, you can have fellowship with God today. And you don't have to go through, you know, some type of self-pity and self-guilt and beating yourself up. It's a matter of just confessing your sin, being honest with God. John said, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. God is waiting to pour forth His love in your heart and in your life. Is there anything hindering it? How many would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart. I have not been experiencing God's love as He intends. But today I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to yield full control to the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying, God, please come in. Please pour forth Your love in my heart once again. I want to be close to You, God. I want to know and experience Your love. If that's your decision this morning, would you raise your hand before the Lord? You'd say, yes, God's spoken to me in that way. Thank You so much. Lord, thank You for Your love for us, that it is personal. And I pray for these that have raised their hands, Lord, acknowledging Your work in their hearts. I pray that You would pour forth Your love by the ministry of Your Spirit. And I pray that every one of us would leave this place today enjoying and basking in Your love. May we live there, Lord. May we keep ourselves in that until we see You face to face. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.